Do you see any legislative movements on this? In other words, will it come to the point where the government will take over and force you to do certain things?
That's not how we really do things so much, but regulations will do that. Well, President Obama's Clean Power Plan is a step in the right direction. It was put on hold by a judge, unfortunately, but that would move things in the right direction. And a lot of it can be done with how we structure subsidies and taxes and all that. So we don't have to club somebody over the head necessarily. We can change the system of carrots and sticks, right, to encourage people to go in a certain direction. So if we took the $5.3 trillion per year that we subsidize the oil companies, oil and gas and coal companies with, if we took that away and then redirected it to solar and wind, conservation and efficiency, that would change the game. So there are a lot of things that we can do, and we can phase things in, you know, not over a terribly long time, but say over a 10-year period, so we don't have a big jolt to the system. But, you know, we can do this in a doable way, and also in a way, I believe, that can make people more money by doing green things than by doing things the old way.
Ellen, what turned you on this situation? I mean, what got you excited enough to devote a fairly large portion of your life to Earth Day causes?
Well, I guess it started when I was a kid. I grew up in a town called Wayland, Massachusetts, which is about 20 miles west of Boston, and we lived on the edge of town in the floodplain of the Sudbury River. It was just a beautiful place full of wildlife, and it was fantastic. But I saw people did a lot of dumping there, you know, like they would take their old refrigerators and stoves and things like that and just throw them in, you know, next to the river. And then people littered all over the place. And I really reacted to those human impacts in such a beautiful area. And then this beautiful land where I used to go riding on my pony every day, they turned it into a landfill. And so I saw right in my face the problem of all the waste that we generate in our society.
You saw the things that you liked going to heck.
Yeah, pretty much. So I decided to do something about it. So it was a kind of circuitous route that I took, but I eventually ended up going into environmental engineering. And I was kind of working away at it fairly quietly, you know, just nicking away at it, being part of the system and, you know, helping. But then in 2005, in my area in Western Mass, there were four proposed wood-burning power plants that were in play. And when I started looking into these things, I saw how devastating they would be, just terrible for the environment in every way and bad for people's health and economy, too. It was just bad for everything. But the regulators were green-lighting these projects, and the citizens they were the only ones who could defend the communities and the environment against these projects. So I became pretty vocal in all that. I mean, I really had no choice. That was the way the public weighed in on these things, through writing or speaking. So I wrote a lot of comment letters to regulators and letters to the editor and spoke up at a lot of public hearings and at the State House. So they created a monster by threatening to burn all my trees.
I'm going to give out our phone number. Maybe there's somebody out there who would like to ask you a question.
Oh, that'd be great. I'd love to.
659-3338. Give us a call. What do you think? Are you looking at, ladies and gentlemen, are you looking at this this pollution situation and Earth Day, or isn't it on your radar? How do you feel about this sort of thing? You know, if it's not affecting you, maybe you just completely ignore it. I don't know. 659-3338 if you have a question. And do you think, how do you think it's affecting your grandchildren? You know, this is what I say to the legislators, the senators, the representatives. If every time we voted, how is this going to affect our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, not how is this going to affect us to get reelected? And I think we need to put that same thing into effect as far as environmental things are concerned. Not that how is it going to affect us, but how's it going to affect our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, you know?
That is so true, and that's kind of the root cause of our whole problem here, is that we don't think long-term at all. In fact, Kurt Vonnegut, the late author, wrote, there's just absolutely no plan at all for my grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And that's what I tell young people today, is they need to create the world they want, because there's no plan for them at all.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it reminds me of a pristine park. You know, everything is just neat. There's no trash. It's every picked up, and a family goes in and they have a Saturday or Sunday picnic, and when they leave, there's garbage scattered all over and all. So the next people to come in have, you know, that's not good, you know.
And we're
kind of doing that with our world, aren't we?
We are doing that with our world, and we're doing it with ourselves. One thing I've realized in all this is when people trash the environment and don't respect the environment, often they don't respect themselves either, and they just kind of ruin their own lives too. So it's a degradation thing all around, it seems to me.
Well, I think what you just said works in many, many different ways. In other words, I've often said, hey, if you don't respect yourself, then you don't respect anybody, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And as a result, you know, that's a bad, bad situation. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I see litter on my road here. And the litter is never something from Whole Foods, you know? It's always cigarettes, alcohol, junk food. It's always really unhealthy packaging that people throw out the window. So they're trashing the environment, but they are trashing themselves directly by consuming those things in the first place. So everything kind of rises and falls together, in my opinion. And I wanted to just quote something from Gaylord Nelson, the guy who started Earth Day. He says, the economy is a wholly owned subsidiary of the environment. And I think that's so important, because what it says is that if our environment isn't healthy, our economy can't be healthy either. And we're just seeing that more and more with, well, the example I mentioned about 6 feet of sea level rise, but also the skyrocketing incidence of chronic disease in our society. It's going to bankrupt us. I mean, our healthcare costs are through the roof. I bet you that every single person listening to this show has someone in their immediate family that has a chronic disease. And a lot of those chronic diseases are linked to things like pesticides and other toxic chemicals in our environment. So we're releasing all these things into the environment. They're coming back to bite us in the form of chronic disease. And also things like behavioral changes, like attention and deficit disorder and depression and things like that are also being linked to these toxic chemicals. So we really are the environment. We take in the environment every minute. When we breathe in air, we're breathing in the environment. When we drink water, we're taking in the environment. When we every bite of food, we're taking in the environment. So our attitude that the environment is something way out there, separated from ourselves, and we can just go ahead and contaminate it, is so flawed because it all comes back to us. You know, if we buy all our stuff from China because it's cheaper because they don't have environmental regulations to keep things clean, well, that air pollution blows right back to us over the Pacific Ocean and to California and further east. So there's really no away. You know, we used to think we could throw things away or do things way over there and they won't affect us. And what science is showing us is it all comes back. So for our own health, for our environment, and for our economy, we need to clean up our act. You know, it reminds me a lot of in medieval times, in like the 1300s, in cities in Europe, people would just throw all their waste right into the street. These
Absolutely.
Weren't toxic chemicals. These were like biological wastes, you know. And it would attract rats and fleas and the plague. And in many of these cities, half the population was wiped out. It was miserable, miserable. People were dying. The stench was unbelievable. It was a horrible, horrible life. And finally, they connected the dots and said, hey, I think our problems are caused by throwing waste in the street. Let's not do that anymore. So they stopped doing it. Life got better. People stopped dying. No more stench. The cities flourished economically, and they still flourish to this day. I look at our situation very similar to that. We're throwing all this toxic, all these toxic chemicals into the atmosphere and on the land and water. We're spewing all this carbon into the atmosphere. We're just making our lives miserable. And so if we just stop shooting ourselves in the foot and have the intelligence to make, you know, connect the dots, we can change our ways and life will be better. We'll have way more fun. We'll be healthier. We won't be spending all this money on droughts and floods and, you know, mass migrations of people. It seems really obvious to me that we could do very well. Now, everybody hates change, but when it's change for the better, I'll take it, you know?
Well, you know, this business is one of those things that it's important, but a lot of people just don't realize it's urgent, you know? If it won't affect them much the rest of their life, then it can't be very important, you know. And this is a bad situation because it's like our government. And I mean, they're really doing bad things for our grandchildren, accumulating these debts and everything else that they'll never be able to pay off, mm-hmm. and they're just passing it on to somebody else. And God help our grandchildren and great grandchildren when they come around to inherit their place in our society, you know?
I totally agree, and that's why media such as your radio show here are so important, because network news shies away from serious environmental matters. You'll see a mention or two, but you don't see a lot of serious news coverage about climate change.
Well, it's not very sexy.
Well, it's not only is it not very sexy, but their sponsors don't want them talking about it. So it's kind of like a gentleman's agreement, right? You know,
yeah.
We'll give you this advertising money, but don't you dare talk about climate change or genetically modified organisms or any of our other stuff. So there are a lot of people who are invested in the world not changing because they're making out pretty well right now. So it's a tension, and the people need to overcome that and say, no, we want a healthy and sustainable world. So what we really need is another Earth Day, because the first one didn't finish the job. We don't have a healthy and sustainable environment, so we need more. So people have, as citizens and as consumers who can vote with their dollars, we have the ultimate say. And we often forget about that, don't we? We forget about our powers in a democracy, and but this, I think people are going to be heard, and they will prevail. But we need to get people more fired up, and once people learn more about how they are being affected, I mean, people are being affected now. It's not just the children, the grandchildren, right? Hurricane Sandy, those people who got flooded because of the extra foot of sea level rise, they suffered impacts. So it's not a future thing. It's a now thing, but
yeah.
Getting worse with time, of course.
What's your take on this?
Well, I mean, I agree with exactly what you're saying, and I can harken back to some things back in my past. But the thing I was going to hold off until after the break was, you know, we got a lot of key issues here. We've got climate change. We got toxic chemicals. We got pesticides. We've got groundwater. We've got plastics. And what I'm going to hold off and ask her after we take a break here, is that which one of those is our greatest problem? I know they're all problems, but which one is it?